Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
And 70s in the day, you had to wear a jacket at night. Come on, somebody. And it was real nice. We enjoyed 10 days of it. In about 3 weeks, Brother Samuel is going to be with us. And how many remember Brother Samuel? He is coming back. And he tells me he is going to preach. And so I've got him, and I've also got his youngest son, Luther. I'm going to have Luther lined up. And Luther is in Singapore right now, Malaysia. He has kind of taken the mantle of Brother Samuel and been preaching around. So I've got those two lined up for that Sunday after my daughter's wedding. My daughter's getting married in about three weeks or so. And just as a family, we'd like to thank you for the shower you guys did yesterday. You went like Jesus over abundantly above all that they could ask or think. It took three carloads to get all the stuff back down to where they live. And I told them, don't bring it to my house. Bring it to where you guys are going to live and take it straight there. And so then they went there and took a lot of fun stuff. But we appreciate your love. Thank you. Carolyn opened up her home and all the rest of you that worked so hard and had a great turnout. And it rained. Come on, everybody. It rained at the same time. So we appreciate all the work that you did. What we're going to do is go ahead and dim the lights down real low if you would. And I've got a little video here I want to show you. It's a little longer than usual, but it's a good introduction to today. And you'll see why what the day's message is about. Go ahead now and be seated. I just want you to stand a minute, then I'm going to have you stand up again after the video. It's good for you. Go ahead.
You've seen it on the backs of magazines. You've thought about it yourself, probably. On the back of Bon Appetit, or even perhaps on the Food Network. That question, if you could invite five people for dinner, who would you invite? Well, the list is usually spectacular, extraordinary people, life-changing people, against all odds kinds of people. Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, Einstein, Dr. Phil, Mother Teresa, Michael Phelps, Wayne Cordero. An evening with one of those five kinds of people could open up your mind and expand your heart. At least that would be our hope. Now, what if we were to take a radical approach to our dinner party? What if we invited the last five people you would want at your table? I mean, if they were the last five people on the planet, you still would not want them at dinner. Now, what if those five people became the first five to your table?
Is there a place for me at your table?
Is there a bowl?
A spoon? A knife?
A fork? Is there a place for me at your table?
Because I'm white.
I'm black. I'm sick.
I'm poor. I don't speak your language.
I'm old.
I'm young. I'm fat.
I'm skinny. I'm hungry and thirsty and tired. Am I invited? You're right. I don't deserve an invitation. I'm not proud of the things I've done. They're horrible, unthinkable, yet sometimes I just feel numb. You know, sometimes I really just need someone's forgiveness to break the chains that I'm in. Am I invited at your table?
I know your face. I've seen it in the newspaper, on television. I know your crimes. What you did to that child, what kind of a person could do that? I would rather see you go hungry than feed you. You're not invited.
I'm not like you. I'm different. The way I talk, the way I act, the color of my skin. I make you mad. I make you sad. I make you scared. You don't like me. But the truth is, I'm really a lot like you. Is there room for me at your table?
You make me feel that because of the color of my skin, I can't understand your situation. I will never comprehend your experience. Like, I'm incapable because of my history, my background. No matter what I do, it's never enough in your mind. I don't get it. How can I invite you?
You would think that the fact that I've hired you and haven't fired you would be enough. But I see the looks. I hear the coffee room chatter. But do you see from my vantage point? Would you take a moment to walk in my shoes? Is there a place for me at your table?
You don't say anything. You don't do anything. You give me nothing, yet you expect everything. If I were to invite you to dinner, there would be no words, no laughter, no tears, nothing. Oh, you make me so angry. You make me feel like my work will never be good enough. I can't invite you.
You're scared. Scared I'll show you up somehow. In the office, at the company party, at your dinner table. The thing we can't say, the elephant in the middle of the room, is that you're jealous. Jealous of me. So you simply avoid me. You simply stay clear. But what you don't know is I'm not looking to compete. I'm just as insecure as you are, or maybe more. I long for your friendship. It's what I'm looking for. Is there a place for me at your table?
You are more beautiful than me. I will never look like you. You are smarter than me. You are more talented than me. You are just better than me. When I see you, I can't see me. You are bigger and brighter and better than I will ever be. There is no room for you at this table.
Our marriage was supposed to last forever, but that didn't happen. But I don't want your food. I don't want your pity, your hospitality, your kindness. I want your friendship. Can I have that? For dinner, can you sit? For an appetizer, can you listen? Can you forgive me for hurting you?
You lied to me. You made promises to me that you broke. Promises in the name of love. You broke all those promises. You cracked and smashed all of my dreams. Like an empty bowl on a tile floor, I was broken and you broke me. Not anymore. No. So now, why would I invite you to this table? No. I'm not gonna give you a bowl of rice, no matter how hungry you are. I'm not gonna give you a glass of water, no matter how thirsty you are. I'm not going to. I'm not.
I didn't think so. What? Did you say something?
How can I invite you to this table?
Is there a place for me?
How can I forgive you?
Is there a place for me?
How can I feed you? My heart isn't big enough. My love isn't deep or wide enough.
Is there a place for me?
To forgive you.
Is there a place for me?
To love you.
Is there a place for me?
To feed you. But you can come. I'll invite you. RSVP, please. I hope you won't come. But in case you do, there is a place for you.
days. 'Cause somebody somewhere decided we'd be better off divided, and somehow, despite the damage done, he says, come, there is room.
What would happen to our world if we did this rare thing and we invited the uninvitable, that person that we just cannot forgive or love? Because love is not love when it is returned. No, we'd all be in trouble if that were true. Love is really alive and kicking when it is an invitation to the table. When you don't deserve the honor, when you don't have to bring the hostess gift or the dessert, just come as you are, who you are. You are welcome. Oh, how I want to love as wildly and senselessly as Jesus did. And until I do, I may never understand what he teaches me about forgiveness, about invitations, about love.
Oh, the times when I have failed to recognize how many chairs are gathered there around the feast to break the bread and break the from our only common ground, the invitation to sit down. If we will come, there is room enough for all of us. Please come, and the arms are open wide enough. Please come, and our parts are never greater than the sum. This is the heart of the one who stands before.
All right, everybody stand up. We are, go ahead into the scripture if you can swap over real quick. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Today's teaching is, I'm continuing on the Beatitudes. They're all fresh with me because I taught the whole series up to what I've done today or last week, last weekend. I taught it the whole thing at a camp that I was at. And we're talking about the Beatitudes. And we're talking about what it means to live it, not just to do it, but to be it. And Matthew 5, verse 7, today is this one. Blessed are, everybody read it with me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Say it one more time. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Bow your heads. Today we're going to talk about happy are the merciful. Father, we just ask you to open our hearts, our eyes, our minds, our spirits, our ears, everything that we have. Open us up, Lord, that we can receive today from you. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Wasn't that moving? And I doubt there was any of us left that it didn't hit at some point or some level. And we're talking about the Beatitudes. Jesus stood up in the midst of a religious and political culture that is absolutely opposite of what he was about to say. I told you, you cannot really understand the shocking words that he spoke that day because we've heard and read the Beatitudes so many times. But he, and let me, I want to go over a little bit. When he began to talk about, he was literally in a culture that was absolutely different or absolutely 180 degrees different than the Beatitudes that he was about to say. As I told you, they were the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. And to be able to do the Sermon on the Mount, you had to be the Beatitudes. If you understand all that, that's a different teaching in itself. But today we're going to talk about merciful. And the word merciful means to be full of mercy. It means to be overflowing with mercy. Blessed are the merciful. And to understand merciful, then we need to understand what the word mercy means, because merciful means to be full of mercy. And even before you can understand mercy, you have to understand what the word justice means. A lot of times we define things before we understand other things. They need building blocks to get there. Let me give you this definition, and this is not a Greek definition. This is just a cultural definition of three words. Let me give these to you. Go backwards. You've missed one. Justice, mercy, and grace. There we go. Go back. Go back. What have we done here? What have we done? Okay, go to the next slide. Go to the next one. All right, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. I'll tell you when to stop. Go ahead. Just hit that return button. Hit it again. You having problems back there? Hit that return button. Let's see. You've missed a few of them. You don't have the definition of justice, mercy, and grace? Do you have it? You don't have it? It was going back. All right, skip the first one. Merciful shouldn't be in this. Let me give you the definition of these three. Look at these three words: justice, mercy, and grace. Justice means giving a person what he deserves. All right, that's justice. You understand that? When you say justice, it's giving a person what he deserves. Second one is mercy, not giving a person what he deserves. And then grace is giving a person what he doesn't deserve. All right, let's go through those real quick again. Justice is giving a person what he deserves. Mercy is not giving a person what he deserves. And then grace is giving a person what he doesn't deserve. Let me say it this way. It's justice to send me to hell because I had sinned. It's mercy not to send me to hell. And it's grace then to send me to heaven. Do you get that? So there's justice, that is giving a person what he deserves. That's justice, what they deserve, whether it's good, bad, grade. You know, we learned in school one of the worst things to do is just to socially promote kids rather than requiring them to learn. I understand there's a time and when you have to do some things, but the philosophy was to socially pass them. But justice is giving a person what he deserves. Mercy is not giving a person what he deserves. And then grace is giving a person what he does not deserve. Now, I not only don't get something I deserve, I get something I don't deserve. That's heaven. That's the grace of God. So if justice is giving a person what he deserves and mercy's not giving a person what he deserves, how can God do both at the same time? How can God be just and merciful at the same time? If justice is giving a person what he deserves, mercy's not giving a person what he deserves, how can God be both merciful and just at the same time? How can God give me what I deserve and not give me what I deserve at the same time? We need to remember that God isn't just, he's not just. He is just. That is, he's not just God. He is just. Like God doesn't just love, God is love. God isn't just merciful, God is mercy. He is, whatever God is, he is completely. He's not part justice and part mercy. He's absolutely, totally justice and absolutely, totally merciful. It's very important to know. Some people believe God's justice and God's mercy are fighting it out, and praise God, his mercy won just by a hair. That's not true. God is still totally justice and totally mercy. He's fully justice, fully mercy. We need to understand he's not a little bit about justice before we can understand mercy. Here's question number one. What is justice? What is justice? Because before you can really appreciate being merciful, you have to really understand what justice is. Ezekiel 18 and verse 25 says this. Yet you say the way.